This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brewers fall to Cincinnati last night in tough fashion. And every time they start to sniff that 500 mark, It just doesn't happen for him. And to talk more about it, Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Hello, Adam. How you doing?
Hello, Bill. Yeah, 0-8. 8 times, including opening day, obviously, where they're 0-0. And
correct.
I don't know, I went through them last night. I was interested in those games because when you kind of go through them, it helps tell a little bit of the story of the season, those games individually, because there's like some Eric Lauer in there who never got going. There's the Kenta Maeda near no-hitter that really highlighted the offensive problems. And on that topic, even opening day itself, being shut out by Kyle Hendricks was kind of, you know, a harbinger of what was to come for an offense that just hasn't been able to do it.
This team has not been able to get over the hump when it comes to getting to 500. I guess my question is, Adam, and has it been, when you go through those numbers, has it been the offense? Has it, because the pitching last night out of Woodruff was really solid, and Rasmussen came in and just watched it kind of explode. Moustakas did his damage against his former team. But has it been the offense that has been more often than not lacking? Has it been bad pitching performances? Why can't this team seem to get over the top?
Yeah, I think when they look back, whatever happens the next week, when they look back on it, it's going to be the offense that needs to be examined and, you know, fixed for next season. Because, you know, Brandon Woodruff is a good example. The Brewers, I think one of the big numbers this year is that they are 5-7 behind Woodruff. Last year it was 18-4. So when you look at Woodruff's numbers, he's pitching the same. The strikeout rate's the same. The walks are the same. The stuff is the same. All the StatCast advanced data, he's pitching the same. He's pitching well. Well enough to win, at least. Now, he's definitely had stumbles in the middle of some of these games. Fifth inning has been really hard on him. But the reason that he has no margin for error, because he's just not getting the support he needs. And, you know, that has been the common denominator all year long as they have tried to get over this magical 500 hump, is there's too few games where the offense is, as Craig Counsell says, driving the bus. I mean, there was the 19-run game, there was the 18-run game, and there have been some good signs lately. But I think when you look at the season as a whole, it is mostly a failure of run production. And, look, I mean, they can still slip in and be very dangerous if they slip in because of those four pitchers they've got. But, you know, they're going to need to hit a little bit to get there.
I want to talk a little bit about Ryan Braun. And the other day he kind of waxed a little nostalgic regarding his career with the Brewers and it possibly coming to an end. Do you get a sense as to what, you know, what he's leaning towards and what the organization is leaning towards as we creep into next season?
Well, it's so hard because the interactions are all on Zoom or text here and there. And, you know, I don't know what you glean from that. It's one of the real hard things about reporting in 2020. Is it's all controlled to a large degree by the club. So, no, I can't give you a good idea. I can say that I, like everybody, am trying to read into his, you know, these comments. And when you hear him talk about that infield hit being a great way to end it, because, you know, every hitter feels like they get robbed of line drives all the time, he talks about that as a great way to end it. And you see people screenshotted for me, you know, Larissa Braun basically saying, I'm going to miss Milwaukee. Goodbye to Milwaukee. It makes you think that he's leaning towards not coming back. And absent of those hints, I would, you know, absent of that stuff, I would say there's no way that a player like that, who's as connected to a city, has had this complicated relationship with the city and been forgiven and re-embraced, I think, by a large percentage of the people who come to those games, there's no way he's going to go out in an empty stadium. But then you hear him talk and you sort of look at the hints and you think maybe that's the case. Now, the other part of this is it's not all his decision, right? I mean, the club is going to decline that option. It's a $4 million buyout. And they can certainly talk about some sort of a deal to come back. But what are the economics going to be this winter? And, you know, if you're talking about a couple million bucks to bring someone back as, you know, because, well, A, you think he can produce, but also as like a PR, not a stunt, but has a PR element to it. It's hard to throw around that money when, you know, the financial situation in the industry right now is in ruin. So that's going to be part of it, too, is there's got to be a mutual interest in 2021. And it's not entirely going to be Ryan Braun's decision.
Do you think, I mean, $4 million in today's game, and I hate to say this, but $4 million in today's game is a pittance. It's
well,
considering.
I would push back on that, Bill, because, you know, again, I always hesitate when we talk about team finances because people think it's, you know, they're just lining their pockets and I don't know, but I do know that teams are getting killed this year. With no fans
right.
in the stands, especially a team like Milwaukee that relies so heavily on ticket revenue, they're taking an absolute disaster of a bath. And I think $4 million is not a pittance in this environment.
So is $4 million for what he brings to the table, where he's brought September, where he's brought leadership, where he's brought fans, where he's been at least versatile and being able to play outfield and a little bit of infield, but do you then is that compilation of ability and numbers worth $4 million in today's market?
Well, that's going to be the question Mark Attanasio and David Stearns to some degree face. And you know, the buyout's $4 million, then you got to pay him a salary on top of that. So whatever the number that they come to in this theoretical exercise would be, they have to decide whether that's, you know, worth giving an opportunity to have a proper send-off. And again, it's going to also be dependent on production. I mean, the one thing we know is that when he is healthy enough to swing the bat, he's really dangerous. How many games can you have him healthy enough to be that dangerous hitter? I mean, the guy kills left-handed pitching as much today as he did the day he came up to the big league. But the back's got to be right in order for him to do it. And they have to put all those factors together and come up with a decision about whether it makes sense to give it a go another year. Again, the hints are screaming pretty loudly to me like this might be it. And I guess maybe I'm reading too much into the little word here.
No, I thought the same thing. I thought for a while that he was coming back. I thought coming out of spring training that if he had a good season, if they were going to protect his body, if he was still healthy, I really thought after talking with him that he was coming back. And I agree with you. The screenshots, the comments, the hints, he's not Brett Favre. I mean, I hate to bring that up, but he's not Brett Favre where he's going to waver. I mean, I think, you know, when he talked about his kids, his wife, the family life, being away, and he really has to weigh that because as the kids get older, he really enjoys spending time with them. It sounded to me like he was saying, you know what, I just want to go home. I don't want to do anything. I just want to go home. I want to spend time with the family. That's to me what it sounded like. I completely agree with you.
And I agree with you, Bill, on the part about not wavering. When he makes his decision, it's going to be 100%. And he's been talking like that since he was 28 years old, 29 years old, saying when he decides he's done, he's just going to walk away and that's the end of it. And there's not going to be like hanging on. He's not going to play until he's 45 years old and can barely walk up to home plate. That is not going to be Ryan Braun. That part we know for sure. It's just a matter of, you know, whether this is it. And look, I'll say the other factor that can't be overlooked in this is the larger offense. If they had this core of hitters, they were bringing back, that they absolutely loved and absolutely killed it. And Ryan Braun can be a really nice complement to that group. Play against lefties. Play a little here. Play a little there. If the DH is still around, play some DH. That's going to be a big factor, too. That would be a different story. But they don't have that kind of offense. They have an offense that looks like it needs fixing, and they're right back where they were, where they need a first baseman. They need a third baseman. They need to figure out, you know, who's going to be the shortstop, Arcia, Urias, or bring in someone else. You know, they have questions at a lot of different positions, and I think that adds also to this sort of cloud of uncertainty about where Ryan Braun fits in all that for next year.
All right, real quick before I let you go. So, big week. By the time you and I talk, the season will have culminated. Give me your thoughts as this team efforts towards the postseason. Five against St. Louis in St. Louis, even though one of those games they'll be considered the home team. They still have to finish up this series with Cincinnati. Is this team ripe to take over and get themselves into the postseason, considering they just haven't been able to eclipse the 500 mark all season long?
Well, the answer is yes when you look at the standing. And thanks to social media, I get to, like, witness the wave of emotion that poor Brewers fans everywhere are going through this year. And, you know, it feels like they're done and dead and terrible. And then you look at the standings and they're a game out. So, like, literally, yes, they could make the playoffs. It is bad offense or not, it is right there for them. And, you know, John Smoltz said this on MLB Network yesterday with a great conversation with Corbin Burns. I don't think a lot of teams would have their hands full with the Brewers in a postseason series when you have Woodruff, Burns at the front end, Williams, Hader at the back end. So the answer is yes. They very well could sneak into the playoffs, and they very well could be dangerous if they get there.
Good stuff as always, my friend. We will talk again next week. We'll either be wrapping up the season or we'll be talking about the angst of Brewers fans as they start to face their next opponent in the postseason. Okay?
All right, Bill. Talk to you then.
Thanks, Adam. Talk to you soon. There you go. That is Adam McAlvey of Brewers.com and MLB.com joining us for a couple of minutes. And he is on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.